Aiden Lohr with Oddball Pilot, sitting down with Captain Harun Kondo.
Yeah.
We're in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and Captain Kondo is the chief pilot for a company called Tanzanair, based in Dar es Salaam, and had a long career in Tanzania. Yes. And so we're going to start off just sort of talking about what Captain Kondo, how he got into flying, how he got to his position he's at now. And then, of course, moving into, as a chief pilot, what he looks for in new pilots. So let's start off, Captain, with when did you first start flying?
Actually, immediately after school, I joined the Army, Tanzanian People's Defense Force.
Okay.
So I was recruited by the Army. I was taken for training in Canada, Montreal.
Okay, and you went to school here in Tanzania?
No.
No, okay.
I went to Canada.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So after reaching Canada, I was supposed to be trained by the Air Force in Canada. But unlucky, I was late for the course after arriving there.
Okay.
So finally, they decided to take me to the civilian school. After that, I will convert to the military.
Okay.
Okay. So I joined a school called St. Hubert.
Okay.
Flying school in Montreal.
In Montreal, okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Actually, near Santa Laurent Bridge.
Okay.
Yes. So that was 1975.
Okay.
February.
That's dating you a little bit.
I started my training on the Cherokee 140, 151, Cessna 172. Cessna 150. It was just a combination of changing the aircrafts during training.
Okay, those are kind of classic trainers. For years they were used as classic trainers.
Exactly.
You said you were recruited for the Air Force. So when you were in school, they came to you and said, we're looking for pilots for the Tanzanian Air Force, and are you interested? Is that how that worked?
No, normally here, when you finish the school, you have the choice for the companies where you want to join.
Okay.
So after finishing my school, personally, because I filled during my recommendations for the job, I filled also the Army. Actually, we take the Army as in case if you don't get somewhere else, maybe the Army, because you have education, they will take you.
Okay.
So I was lucky, I was selected in two parts. First, I was supposed to be on the cooperative societies, I was selected there. Second, I was also selected to the military, but on my choice, I selected to join the military.
Okay.
Yes.
So rather than go into the private sector, you decided
to go in the private sector. I just decided to go in the sector.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, so they take me for the course, basic training, 6 months in this country.
Okay.
To be a soldier. So after 6 months, I became a soldier. After being a soldier, it's the time when they started to select soldiers who can go to attend certain courses with the differences, courses they need in the Army.
Okay, and they needed pilots.
So there were pilots also for the transport planes, Air Force planes, jet fighters, engineers, and medicals and everything. So on my side, I requested I wanted to be an engineer, aircraft engineer, because I thought to be a pilot is very difficult.
Okay.
So, after that, when they went for their own selection, they said, no, you are not supposed to be an aircraft engineer. According with your results, we are sure that you can be the pilot.
Okay.
Yes.
So you wanted to be an engineer, and they said, no, we're going to make you a pilot.
Yes, we want to make you a pilot. So they took me for the pilot course in Canada.
Okay.
So they were a lot. Others, they went to China for the jet fighters. Others, they went to Russia. But me with my fellow, we went to Canada.
Okay, so you did, the Air Force pilots, you got trained in various spots in the Ukraine, or in Russia.
Russia, I know the other China, but
okay.
Me, we went to Canada.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. So went to Canada at the flying school called St. Hubert. Actually, the name of the school itself was Wonder Aviation.
Okay, Wonder Aviation.
Wonder Aviation.
Okay.
At St. Hubert.
Had you wanted to fly before, or was this just, you had the, I mean, they said, we want you to be a pilot?
No, what they do normally here, if you are being selected to go for the pilot course, they were with the Cherokees those days, the Cherokee 140s here.
Right, yep.
They were using them for training purpose.
Okay.
So, after being selected that I'm going to the pilot side, there are people or instructors who were flying those Cherokees, they are doing some sort of aptitude test.
Okay.
So they go with you up to see how you will behave.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So at least 7 to 8 hours.
Okay.
So there are some actually, the first flight when you went up, there are some who gave up, said no. If that's kind of a job, we don't want it.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's a procedure there, 70-80 hours where they're deciding whether you have the aptitude to be the pilot.
The aptitude, yes.
Got it.
So according with the way you behaved in the air, because the instructor is giving you the controls, just take it. He makes the banks, he see your reactions.
Yep.
You know, for the first time when the aircraft banks to the right, you have the tendency of coming back to the left to see if you can bring it back.
Yep.
So things like that.
Okay.
They were there. So after that aptitude test, after 8 hours, my instructor said this man is okay.
Okay.
So he was called the chief instructor to go with me up also to check. When he checked me, he said also, this man is capable.
So, fantastic. So you continued training then?
I have now selected to go to Canada. Not to continue here, to go to Canada for the training. Yes.
Okay, so that was a pretty long process.
That was
that was serious. They had a pretty good idea you were going to work out well when you went to Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
There's probably some expense for the government involved in sending you there. Yeah. Fantastic. So, okay, so you're in Canada, you're flying the 140s and the 150s.
The 150s, 172s. Then, after that, I did my PPL in Canada.
Okay.
I got my PPL. After the PPL, the next was commercial. I went for the commercial. I did my commercial, I passed my commercial. Then afterwards, it was the multi-engine. By that time, there was an aircraft called the Apache. I don't know if they are still surviving.
Yeah, the twin-engine ones?
The twin-engine ones.
Yeah, yep. They're still, I don't know if they make them anymore. There's still some Apache trainers in the U.S.
Okay. So I was trained on Apache.
Okay.
And I was lucky, the aircraft which I was flying, it was the same age with me. Because I was born in 1954, and the aircraft was manufactured in 1954. So that was our age with the aircraft.
So you two are in the same program.
Yeah, the same program, yes. So I was trained on that aircraft for multi-engine and the instrument.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So they were calling him MOT, Minister of Transport Canada.
Okay.
So the examiner came to check me on the side of the instruments. I was lucky, I can say, because it was a bunch of 15 guys.
Okay, so there are 15, so you're a group of 15.
And we are a group of 15.
And then they're trying to figure out who to pull from.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I finished the course. I was the first one for about 1.5 months before getting the second one.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you did have some aptitude for this.
Yes.
Something cool.
Yeah. After that, by that time, Canadians were giving instrument. They were class 1 and class 2.
Okay.
Class 1, it was somebody who has done very well, and they were with a certain hours. If you have those hours, they give you the class 1.
Okay.
And the class 2, it was just for the normal who finished the course is getting class 2.
Huh. So the class 1 was like a higher level?
It was a higher. You should be with the hours, some sort of just like experience, not fresh from school.
Yep, yep.
And at the same time, you are supposed to be with a lot of hours.
Right.
And you should perform super.
Right.
That's class 1.
Did it give you more, could you have more benefits? Like in terms of if you had a class 1, you could do certain type of flights that you couldn't do if you had a class 2. In terms of like an approach, maybe you had different minimums.
They have the limitations of the minimums.
Okay.
So are there the minimums? Maybe if you fail to reach a certain minimums at a certain feet, you should be on the category of class 2.
Okay.
That's what the procedure they were using.
Okay.
Okay. But on my side, when I finished with that examiner, he told me, I'm giving you class one, but I will not specify it on your answers. We just give you the letter that you are fit for class one.
Okay.
Because of race hours I have. You know, immediately after the training, you should be with around 210 to 20 hours.
Right.
So at 220 hours, to give you class one, it wasn't easy unless you are coming to 400 or 500 hours.
Right.
Okay. But I was with the letter that I'm fit for class one.
So you're fit for class one, but until you get the time.
The time, yes.
They're not going to, okay.
Exactly.
So that, so as soon as you hit the 500 hours, 600 hours, then you
exactly.
have a class one.
You have a class one.
Okay, so you've been training. It took about, how long did it take to get to that point in your training?
Actually, it took me about, I can say, it's about 1 year and a half.
Okay. Okay.
It's 1 year and a half.
That's a good, and that's, I think I took a year and a half to get my licenses.
Yeah.
So that's a good.
It's a year and a half.
That's excellent.
Yes.
And you had about 220 hours then.
Yes.
And around class 20, one yes. instrument rating.
Exactly.
Cool.
Okay, then after that, I was supposed to come back in the country, but when they checked with my country said they are opening the flying school. So at least the best first three, we would like them to be trained as instructors.
Okay. So there, so Tanzania was opening up a flying school in Tanzania.
In Tanzania for the military.
Okay.
Yes.
So they want you to be trained as an instructor then.
As an instructor.
So you stay in Canada a little bit.
So I stayed in Canada to wait for the second deferral, which was after 1.5 months.
Okay.
Came the second, and then the third. After that, we started our instructor course.
Okay.
Yeah. It took us about 3 to 4 months, something like that. We finished our instructor course.
Right. So
yeah.
Then, and then you came back to Tanzania to instruct at the flight school, the
yeah,
military
yes,
flight
exactly.
school.
But immediately after arriving here, I went for the military course to be an officer, because by this time I was an officer cadet.
Okay. So you did the, right, you forgot, you did the military training for 6 months, then you went and did the flying, and now
yes.
you're going back to become an officer.
An officer, yes.
Okay.
So I went for the course of an officer's course.
That was another few months?
It was 3 months. 3 months of officer's course. And that was for special, it was called a special course for people who have already with a special career in the army which they need. Otherwise, officer's course, it was supposed to be 9 months for
okay.
the infantry.
Okay, this was just, they needed you. It
yeah.
sounds
they,
like they needed
exactly.
you to start training
yeah, exactly.
pilots.
Yeah, to start training pilots.
Ah, so after that, then you moved to the flight school, the Tanzanian military flight school.
Yes.
And started instructing.
As an instructor.
Yeah, how long did you do that for?
I did an instructor, I can say almost all my career, because for about 10 years I've been an instructor.
Wow.
Yes.
In the military?
In the military, yes.
Wow.
There are some of my students, actually, they are captains of 737s here and there and here. Some have left the country, but my students.
Wow. So they're
yes.
here, they've continued, they got out of the military and are flying the 737
yeah.
now. Huh. So you yes. liked instructing.
Yeah, I liked it. Because, you know, by that time it was a bit paying a bit higher.
Yeah, yeah.
If you compare with a normal pilot, there was an extra allowance for
right
for the instructor.
Okay.
Although it's a risky job. At the same time, I liked it because it keeps even the instructor yourself to keep on reading the books so that you'll be current, you're going to be challenged by the
yes.
student.
Especially as things change.
Exactly.
Because you're looking at like up and from 75 to 85.
Yes.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of changes in the years you've been flying.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that a little bit more later.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're basically doing what the military is telling you to do. They also, they say you're going to be an instructor
because
yes. you're good at it.
Yeah.
So we're not, so that's where you're going to be. And you get, at some point you probably could have moved, didn't you?
So I kept as an instructor.
Okay.
On those aircrafts. So I was training the Cherokee's 140s. We were with them. And I was making conversion to multi-engine aircraft. By this time, we are with the Cessna 310.
Okay, yep. That's a good plane.
So
yeah.
I was training the people in the Cessna 310 also too for the conversion on multi-engine and at the same time with instrument rating.
Okay, so they do the instrument and multi at the same time
yes,
in the 310.
Yes.
Yeah, that's. I did my multi in a 310, but I think it was a 310D.
That was the old one. The nose like this.
Yeah, nose like that. They had the ugly tanks on the wingtips.
Oh,
the
wingtips.
The Qs
exactly
had
yes.
the sort of pretty tanks, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But on the 310, the Q was good because the advantage of the Q, it was with the long range.
Ah, you go further.
It was with the six tanks.
Okay, that sounds like the Three Sisters. It's a lot of tanks.
Yes, lots of tanks.
So it's a pretty good trainer plane,
it
though?
It was a very good training, especially for cross countries.
Right.
It was good for students. You are sure you have enough fuel.
And it goes pretty fast. It's
very fast, exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So by the time when I was with about 8 years as an instructor, I was changed. I was taken to the Chinese Air Force base. It's a Tanzanian base, but with the Chinese aircrafts.
Okay.
So they preferred me that I can be a very nice trainer on the jets, MiGs.
Oh, on the MiGs?
Yes.
Which MiGs?
The MiG-19.
Okay.
So I was changed to the jet unit. I was converted by the Chinese on the MiG-19.
Oh, fantastic.
Very nice.
How did that fly?
Yeah, it's good. It's fast.
Faster than the 310.
Yeah, it's fast. Yeah, this thing is fast.
Yeah, I don't know much about the MiG-19. So it's a two-seater,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It's a fighter?
A fighter, yes.
Huh.
It's a twin engine, very fast.
Huh, I'll have to look it up.
With the approach of about 950 kilometers on final.
950?
Kilometers.
Kilometers per hour?
Per hour.
Wow.
Approaching on final.
That's fast.
Yeah, it was
what was your
fast
touchdown?
Twin engine.
And,
twin engine. Touchdown, we are coming to around 350. That's touchdown.
Wow, that's fast.
Yes.
How long did you instruct
them? I didn't stay for quite a long time. Because what I hated, I used it with these other aircrafts to pass in different airfields. But now when I went for the jet fighters, it was just as if I have been rocked somewhere because I'm not supposed to land outside of the base.
Okay.
So you go up, you fool around, then you come back at the base you land.
Okay.
So
you can't go, so you're just landing at the same airport all
yes
the time.
Yes, so I used to pass through different airports. Now I don't have any more chance to
go
through other airports.
Yeah.
So that's the thing which made me suffer, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't as interesting.
Yes. So, I started to fight if I can go back to the air transport base.
Back to the 310s and the 140s.
And by the time they were with the Buffaloes, HS-748 for the air transport, so that I can go there.
Okay, so now you're going to transport where you're actually flying cargo and
yes
you're not just training.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's what you're trying to transfer
yes
into.
Okay. So I started to work for that. I worked for that. I said, well, according with my age now, I'm supposed to start with this thing area, not at this age I have.
Right.
So finally, after 2 years, they realized that it's okay. You can bring him back to air
okay
transport.
Cool. And in the caribous and the...
And the car, the buffaloes.
The buffaloes. The buffaloes is a turban version of the caribou,
the
right?
Version, yes.
Yeah.
It's a Canadian.
Yeah, they don't fly them in the U.S. It kills me. That looks
yeah
like a fantastic
so
airplane.
That was a fantastic.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
Yes. I think because the aircraft, we started with it. There is no time when we are using full power. It's just you set the power according with the weight you have.
Okay.
Nobody reached that the maximum power.
Huh.
Yes.
What kind of areas were you flying the buffaloes into? Remote strips, short strips, or are they
remote
still...
strips, we use them in remote, yeah, for remote strips, it's very nice.
Okay.
Yes.
And flying the Tanzanian Army personnel or just supplies?
Army personnel, transferring of soldiers in some regions.
Okay.
Okay.
So was there fighting going on in Tanzania at this time?
Pardon?
Was there some, were there conflicts going on in Tanzania?
Yeah, there was, the conflict came, by the time when the conflict came, I was using the 310. The conflict came, that was 1978.
Okay.
78, it was the war between Tanzania and Uganda, Idi Amin.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's,
so
I
was,
come to Tanzania now and it's always really nice. I mean, it's
yes
great here, but.
So by this time there was a lot of transportation of soldiers, bombs, what, and everything.
Right, yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's a war.
It was a real war, not the...
Right.
It's small, it was the real war, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so we are transferring most of the things because the headquarters in Dar es Salaam, and we are... The fights was around the border which is about 570 knots from there.
Right.
The distance, nautical miles.
Huh.
So we are transferring things from here to take them 570 nautical miles to our one of the region which is crossing the border.
Right.
So that's where everything was being organized.
So now when you're flying these transports, that's where you're flying up to the border
and
dropping off.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I started to think of about the income.
Right.
There are some of the pilots who came after me. They were flying civilians here. But the money which they are making comparing with mine, it was...
They were making more.
They were making
more. Yeah. So as a in the military, you're making less money than the civilian pilots. In the military, you're making less than the...
Less money.
Yeah, that seems to be true.
And that's cases. Everywhere, and almost in every country.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started to request to leave the army.
Okay, this is now in the late 80s?
I started to process to leave the army, that was 1984.
Okay.
That's the time I started the process.
All right, and then how long did that take?
It took me about 3 years before I got the answer. But by 87, they allowed me to leave the army. By this time, I was already a major.
Oh, wow. Yes. You're pretty high up. Did you retire then?
Yes.
Okay, so you retired from the army. But they didn't want to let you go. They didn't want to let you go, did they?
So I decided to quit the army with the rank of a major.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a good rank.
I joined to civil. When I joined to civil, actually, there was a company called Samtanus here. It was dealing with the clearing and the forwarding.
Okay.
It was a German-based company here. So they were with the private aircraft, just for small things, to take envelopes somewhere, just like that.
Right.
It was a Cessna 182.
So you got from Cherokee 140s up to jets.
Yes.
And then I think the Buffaloes, and now you're back to 182.
182, yes. What time off this?
But they're paying more money for you to fly 182 than you made flying jet fighters.
Exactly.
Cool. What was the transition like from the military to civil aviation? Was it a hard transition or pretty easy?
It wasn't hard to me because initially I was trained on a civilian school in Canada.
Okay.
So it wasn't hard to me.
But a little looser on rules and regs.
Yes.
So yeah.
Exactly. So there was somebody, they were with their own old pilot there. He wanted to leave the country. So he's the one who started to check me out on 182. He was a German.
Okay.
So he checked me on 182. Then I became the captain of 182. And then finally they decided to buy an Aztec to do a little bit charter business.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're moving up in the world. They got a twin.
So they bought another aircraft. It was called the Queen's Air.
Queen Air, yeah.
Yes.
You know the Queen Air, yeah.
Queen Air, yeah. They bought that one also. But the company didn't stay long.
Right.
Yes. And but that company at least introduced me in the civil to know that there is a pilot somewhere.
Right.
I can say so. Because there is the time these air traffic controllers, they were carrying out with their courses. And the condition, they were supposed to get 10 hours every controller so that even when he controls the aircraft, he should know what pilots' feelings when they are in the air.
Right, right. So the control, I think they're talking about that in the U.S. now, too. But yeah, have the controllers get some flight time so they understand.
Yeah, these controllers, we are being given 10 hours.
Okay.
So by the time when I was with that company, Transair, it came that business of controllers.
Okay.
Now they started to fetch somebody who is an instructor around. There was nobody.
Ah, but you were an instructor.
I was an instructor.
Okay. So now you're going to instruct the controllers.
Yeah, co-instruct the controllers. So, and every controller was supposed to be given 10 hours, and there were 10 of them. So they were brought to me on that Cessna 182. I started to train them on 182.
Huh.
Yes.
How was that working with the controllers? Did they understand it quickly with the flying, you know, the flying side of it versus...
There are some, they reached up to the standard of learning themselves. Although there was no sorrow for controllers, to make them to go free themselves. But at least I was with some who reached up to the stage of landing without an assistance.
Okay, so yes. Maybe not a solo, but they could land without you holding
yeah,
control.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How was the civil aviation in Tanzania now? Were there a lot of companies flying around, or is it...
Actually, now I can say there are a lot of companies flying.
Okay.
But the first company in this country is this Tanzania.
Oh, so this, okay.
This is the oldest company, because this company started since 1969.
Oh, that's the year I was born.
Huh?
Okay.
Since 1969, this company was here.
So this is the first civil private,
yes, private.
Airline in Tanzania.
Yes.
And that's Tanzania.
Yes. Because, you know, by that time, there was a joint of East African Airways, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. They were the ones which were with the airlines.
Okay, there's just one airline.
One airline.
For
three countries.
Okay.
Which was called East African Airways.
East African Airways. Yeah,
yes.
I've heard of that, actually.
Yes, it was going as far as Europe, everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the only airline around. So in Tanzania, 1969, he started his own business here.
Okay, let's just wait for this to shut down real quick. One of the King Airs. He'll be down, shut down soon. Huh.
Actually, it has come for gold. It has gold inside.
He's going, he's going?
Gold.
Gold. Oh, the gold mine flight.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, yeah, I want to get in that a little bit. Well, I think this is probably still recording just fine, so let's just have they're shutting down. Cool.
Yeah.
So we're jumping around a little bit there, but Tanzania is the original company that... private airline in
this
Tanzania.
Tanzania, that was the private company started in this country.
Okay, but then prior to that, it was East African Air was the only company for Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania.
In Tanzania, yes.
Okay, now so then you've got Tanzania in 69. So you'd known about Tanzania for quite a while.
Yes, yes.
Had you, but you're flying with Transair at this point. We're talking about the early 90s, probably?
Yeah, early 90s, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so this is
the
first air charter company in this country.
Okay. When did you start with Tanzania?
I started in Tanzania, that was 1988.
Okay.
Because I left the army in 1987. I joined the Transair. Before joining Transair, when I left the army, I requested the job from this company. They told me they have no chance.
Okay.
But they will keep in contact with me if they have the chance. So I joined the Transair. And when I joined the Transair, it came the business of this training of those
controllers. Yep.
Tanzania, it was the big company compared with the Transair.
Right.
He was supposed to train those.
Ah, so Tanzania was supposed to train the controllers.
Yes, but he missed an instructor.
Ah.
So that's why that business went to?
Transair.
To Transair. So it's the time when Tanzania came to realize that it's needful to be with an instructor. We lost this money because we don't have an instructor.
Right. So this, now they do want it.
Now they started it to write to me, we have the chance to employ you now.
Uh-huh.
You can come and join us.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where it started.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you ended up at Tanzania.
That's how I ended up coming in Tanzania.
Fantastic.
So I joined Tanzania until 1988.
Okay.
Since 1988 up to now.
Well, that's a long time, 23 years?
23 years, yes, exactly.
Wow.
I'm with this company.
That's a long time.
23 years, yes. Yeah.
What changes have you seen in those 23 years in Tanzania in terms of the aviation?
The aviation is growing higher now.
Growing quite a bit.
Yes.
As you're saying, there are a lot of airlines in Tanzania.
Yeah, because
now
these charter companies with the schedule business, there are some others which are doing the schedule.
Okay.
We have, I think, not less than 15 companies.
Oh, in Tanzania? 15 airlines, okay.
Not less than 15 airlines.
And the main ones. The main bases are Dar es Salaam.
Dar es Salaam. Arusha, Zanzibar.
Ah, Zanzibar, right?
Mwanza.
And Mwanza.
Yes.
So four primary hubs.
Yeah, four primary.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And the primary business here is flying. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's to the gold mines and tourists or safaris.
Hunters.
Yeah, and so that's
He and Dalai Lama also visit international organizations.
Oh, the international organizations. That would be the UN.
UN, yes.
International Red Cross, yes. I imagine.
UNHCR.
UN, yep, yep.
Yes. And because, you know, during these conflicts of Rwanda and Burundi, the war in Rwanda and everything,
right.
A lot of refugees were coming in this country. We are still with more than 50,000 refugees in this country. So UNHCR, Red Cross, everybody was running for these
right.
companies to take medicines, the big shots, and things like that, administration-wise, and everything.
Did you run contract? Does like Tanzania have contracts with any of these?
Tanzania?
Yeah.
Actually, it's the main leading company
okay.
with a lot of contracts in this country.
Okay, so you do fly a lot of contracts with
yes,
humanitarian
aid. Yeah, you know, the advantage of this company, why it has a lot, the first thing, it has its own maintenance facility.
Okay.
They were, most of the oil companies, they were expecting the maintenance to come here or
okay.
to go to Nairobi.
Oh, so Tanzania has maintenance facilities and the oil companies use
yes.
Tanzania's maintenance. Okay,
exactly.
I've seen that with the helicopter.
Exactly,
project.
Yes.
Okay.
That's one. And the number two, he was with the big fleet initially, although there is now a challenge of another company called the Coastal. But
okay.
Tanzania was with the a big fleet of aircrafts. At least he
okay.
can send 5-6 aircrafts on different parts.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back just a little bit. So you've got a... What planes do you fly now?
Well, Tanzania.
Yeah, what type of planes?
The type of the planes we are operating, we have a Cessna 206.
Okay.
We have the Cessna 208.
Yep.
We have the Cessna 406.
Ah, love that one.
That's a caravan too.
That's a great plane.
Okay. And then we have the beach.
The King Air.
The King Air.
Okay, what are the different jobs each plane does? I mean, it's do the 182s primarily do hunters, or is that a 208 job? The King Airs we're just talking about, that just does the gold mine work quite a bit?
They
do everything.
The gold mine contract, obviously, it needs, you know, that's money itself, the gold.
Yeah, yeah.
So it needs the fast plane. And the condition, pressurize the plane if possible.
To go higher.
To go higher. And
at
least a big plane a bit.
Right, and you were
yes.
saying the gold mine strips are pretty
yes.
are pretty nice.
The oil strips in the gold mines are very nice.
Okay.
Yes.
Although
now we have changed the system.
Huh.
Why we have changed the system? We used to go on every gold mine to collect.
Okay.
But now we have changed the system.
You don't go to every gold mine anymore.
We have put the helicopter
oh.
to pick
so using
from the gold mine.
So helicopters are getting used more.
Yes, we have the helicopter basically. Yeah?
Oh.
It's picking from the gold mine. It brings us to a safe area.
Okay.
Mwanza, where there is police and everything, at least at the international airport.
Okay, but there are security issues at the gold
security.
Mine.
That's the security.
Okay, so the King Air no longer goes to the gold mines.
Yes.
The helicopter brings all the gold to Mwanza.
Yes. Initially, we are going.
Right.
But now they changed the system because there is one of the plane which was attacked.
Okay.
In the mine.
Huh.
Yeah, and the mine, the gold was stolen. Where the body?
Wow, was anybody hurt?
Huh?
Was anybody hurt in the attack?
Actually, the manager of the gold mine was shot on his knee.
Oh, wow.
And the plane which was being used on that business was destroyed completely because
wow.
it was shot about 28 bullets on ground while the body.
Right.
Yes,
yep.
Because you know the mines are in the bush, so the plane is running in the bush. People, they have been themselves hiding themselves in that bush.
Right. Waiting till they were loading the plane.
Waiting that there is the day they will come. They started to monitor the dates.
Oh,
within these dates,
right,
these people
right.
are coming. These dates are coming. So they have been as if they are counting the days.
Yeah, they
after
know,
how many days
they
are
exactly
coming.
What it
after
was
knowing
coming.
That, they decided to hide themselves around the area.
Okay.
With the machine guns.
Oh, that's just dangerous.
It was very dangerous
yeah.
because they were with the police who were escorting those guards by the time when they are boarding. The police themselves, they surrendered because the way the people they were shooting, because
yeah.
it looks as if they are with a lot of bullets.
They're outnumbered.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. So the gold went off.
Right. So now they just take it with the helicopter right to Mwanza.
To Mwanza for security purpose, and then went there, bring it as far.
Okay, so that's the king air. The caravans do.
The caravan, sometimes the 406 we use them. The caravan too.
Okay.
Because our contract with them, in a case the king air is unserviceable, it's not around, we can use the 406.
But it's always going to be a twin engine plane.
Yes,
on the coal mine contract.
Twin engine fast.
Let's talk a little bit about the 406. I know you mentioned, yesterday it came up that you didn't mention it, but it came up that you've got 12,000 hours in 406s.
12,000, yes.
Which is, and I said I had about 1,000 hours in 406, which is nothing, but the you probably have the highest time 406 driver in the world, as near as we can tell.
Yeah.
What do you think of the plane?
The 406?
406.
I have flown in quite different of aircrafts. But the 406, I can say, is great.
Yeah, I always liked it.
Yes.
So, and, Jeff had some stories about you in the 406s. What's the most interesting flight you've done in a 406? I know you've done a lot, picked up a lot of ones that were broken.
Yes.
That you've had to ferry back to...
The fat one, which was the worst with the 406, I ferried it from a certain area called Moyowasi, which is about... It's about 480 nautical miles from Dar es Salaam.
Okay.
Yeah. One pilot went with that 406. He landed there, but he landed in tailwind.
Okay.
There was no wind, so he couldn't bother even on the side of the smoke around and what.
Right.
So he landed in tailwind. And they touched it down in between.
Oh.
And they know the speed of the 406.
Yeah.
So he ended up on finishing the oil. Airstrip.
Okay.
That was a hunting airstrip.
So it was a shorter strip.
Yes. And there was a tree folded down immediately after the run in the bush. So he went up to the...
So he ran into the tree.
He landed up to that tree where he hit the nose gear, collapsed. Okay?
Yep.
And the plane went like this. But funny enough, it couldn't land this way. It couldn't come back, so it stayed on the tree, just like that.
Balancing on the tree.
Yes.
So substantial damage.
Yes, it was. Because even the insurance people, when they came there, they said, this is right off.
Just leave it here.
Let's leave it here.
But you put it back together and...
Jeffrey did it.
So you came out with Jeff and...
I came out with Jeff.
So those of you listening, Jeff's the head of maintenance, chief maintenance guy at there. And
I have seen a lot of chief engineers because for these 23 years I have been with this company, there are a lot of engineers who have passed here. I have seen them, but Jeff is the exception.
It's pretty good. It seems like you two have a very good relationship too.
Yeah, we have a good relationship, yes. But I can say he's exceptional.
Okay. That's excellent.
Yes.
I think they've got an exceptional chief pilot and an exceptional chief engineer, if that works. So you guys went out together to put this plane together.
Yes.
And you had to replace the engines.
Yes.
And the nose gear.
Yeah, because we are with the second one here, so it wasn't easy to take it out of the bush with the engines and everything, because the engines was damaged. A lot of things was damaged on that aircraft.
Right.
So we decided to ground this one here.
Okay.
Rob the things from this one.
Oh, so you took the parts off the plane in Dar.
In Dar.
Yep. And
some parts.
Flew it out.
Some parts.
Okay, something like that.
There are some, yes. Just like the engines and the propellers.
Right, because you want to get this plane back from this strip where it's been wrecked.
But the people went there, they stayed first for more than a week doing their panel beating. Like the wings, what, everything.
Yeah, the wings had to be fixed.
Yeah, the wings have to be fixed.
Yeah.
And the undercarriage, this one has been broken and everything.
Yeah.
So, actually... The system with the undercarriage was terrible because they just fixed the nose wheel with the springs of the rotary. Just tight them to make sure that the undercarriage doesn't
fold back.
It doesn't fold back.
But now it couldn't retract.
So no retraction.
Right, so you've got fixed gear 406.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you can see some other ropes which are passing to tighten it. At least to take out of the bush.
So all you were trying to do is get it back here.
Yes.
So when you got it all together, and I think this, I've got this story right. This is the one where you add power to take off, and it's not a very long strip.
Yes.
It's a short strip. How long, how many meters?
It's about 800 meters.
Okay, and yes. But how high up is the airfield?
The elevation is around the... It's around 3,500.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's always fairly warm here, too.
Yes.
So you add full power and you're getting ready to go.
Yes. And it started stalling, one engine.
That's right. And one engine doesn't want to go, right?
Yes, right.
And you're there with Jeff's in the plane with you, right?
With Jeff, yes.
Yep.
So I made an abortion.
Okay.
First effect.
So
we came back. So we said, first, I went to the 206 passing over around at the time when I was going, coming in to pick it.
Right.
Try to see in case after takeoff if we have any problem, where shall I put it?
Right.
So I passed it around, I saw the area, and then I told Jeff, we start in case we have the problem, I have seen the area where we should put it.
Okay, so you went up in the 206.
Yes.
And you said, and you look for a suitable landing
in
spot
case, yeah.
in case your engine quit right after
exactly.
got in the air. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, good thinking.
Yeah.
And so then when you go for the second takeoff, the engine worked.
Yeah.
And then your airspeed stopped working.
Yeah.
But it made it back here, and you all made it back okay.
Everybody was sitting here to see, is it possible that plane which we saw it's crashing there?
Yeah.
Can you come back? Nobody believed that.
Right. But you made it. Were they happy when you got back?
Everybody was very happy, yes.
To go back a little bit to why the plane crashed, you were saying that there was no windsock and the pilot didn't look for smoke or any water. That seems like that would be a good skill for a pilot here. Your basic, be able to find another way to tell what the wind's doing if there's no windsock. And he just didn't. He didn't look.
Yeah,
for
actually,
water.
You know, when you are flying,
you can
even if there's no windsock, there is no smoke around
you
to see.
It.
You can feel from your plane what speed you are making on this direction.
Right, right.
Because if you know your aircraft well.
Right, if you're coming in. And
yes.
You're like, whoa, I'm way, way too fast.
Yes. The wind should be coming this way.
It's like I'm doing 100 knots and I'm not doing 100 knots.
Even if, for example, this flying in the bush, if you happen to go wrong, you can see the movement of the trees a bit. Where are they?
Right.
Are they heading?
And the leaves, how they're going.
Oh, at least 30 to 40 miles before arrive at your destination.
Right.
On the areas where they were with the smoke.
Yep.
You have already noted.
Yep.
With the smoke, with your ground speed, to see that there should be wind coming from this side.
Right. This is, standard, like, bush-type flying.
Yeah,
I mean, you're in twin engine planes, and I think some people think they're not bush flying anymore, but...
Yeah. And nowadays, we have... decided twin not to take them in the bush now anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's all the caravans.
Yeah. We use the tourist caravans.
Okay.
Yeah. Although there are people, there are some bush airstrips which are good.
Right.
And there are people whom their insurance is not allowing them to go on the single engine aircraft.
Right.
So for somebody who is hunting with such kind of a person who is insurance, should be twin engine aircraft.
Yep.
The first thing you give him, airstrip. Work on your airstrip for that twin engine to come down.
Okay, this was, even yesterday you were saying, you fly some pretty high profile people.
Yeah, exactly.
And their insurance or their countries,
some
of their in charge of countries, won't allow them to fly in single engine planes.
Single engine, exactly.
So then you put them in the 406.
Yes.
And go back to those strips.
Those strips.
The logic of insurance companies.
Yes.
Okay, well that's... and Tanzania has been around for a long time.
Yes.
Obviously they've sort of grown in their airplanes as things have gone along.
Yeah.
Let's get more into a couple things I want to talk about. One, if I was a Tanzanian resident, if I lived and grew up in Tanzania and wanted to be a pilot.
Yeah.
Is there a flight school in Tanzania now for pilots? Not military, but...
Yeah, the flight school which we have is up to the level of private pilot license.
Okay, so there is a flight school is it in Dar?
In Dar, yes.
Okay,
in
you
Dar,
get, a,
yes.
you
up
get
to
your
the
private...
level of PPL. Yes.
Okay, you get a private pilot's license.
Yes. Then for advanced commercial
instrument,
you have to go outside of the country because they don't teach commercial here.
Okay, do you think most, where would most Tanzanians go? South Africa? Then a lot
most
of
them, they are in South Africa. Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of in line with that, how many, when you're hiring, when you're looking for pilots here, do you, are there many Tanzanian pilots, non-military pilots for you to hire?
When we recruit.
Like when you're, yeah, when you're recruiting.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of Tanzanians who learn how to fly?
Tanzanians, there. We have some Tanzanians.
Okay.
And we have foreigners also.
Right.
But it depends with the conditions of the company itself.
Right.
Criteria which the company has put it down to impress somebody.
Right, yeah.
Okay, mostly we are looking for pilots. The way we are recruiting here, if a pilot, because there is nobody who looks for high labor. Everybody is looking for cheap labor. Okay?
Right, yeah. Yep.
Understand that.
Yeah.
So, if somebody comes from the school fresh,
right, they're
it
cheaper.
Means it's cheaper, but it's costing because you have to train him on the rest of the aircraft, so the rating and everything.
Right, yep.
Now, the condition of this company was if we wanted to employ somebody, that was the initial one.
Right.
The pilot should be at least on his license, at least one or two type of the aircraft the company is operating.
Okay, because in Tanzania, you're rated in each airplane.
Yeah.
So you'd get a license in, like here, then you'd need, what we're talking about, the 170.
Not like in States, the way, because in States, Canada, and everywhere, we take from a certain weight to a certain weight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And single engine, you can fly.
Single engine,
you
have to fly. Exactly. Here, it's quite different. So you can do a 150 exam.
Right.
You go to civil aviation and you put to do the exam of 150. And somebody checks you on 150, and you want the 172, you have to go to write the exam again for 172, so it goes like that.
Okay.
Every aircraft, you have to do the exam.
So, and you really wouldn't be interested in a pilot who didn't have a license then, at least the 206, because that's their smallest plane you fly.
Yeah.
Can you put people in the right seat as co-pilots in a caravan or a
in the caravan.
Yeah.
Actually, we are doing now.
Okay.
Yeah, now we are doing.
And that's just to get
and
lower
it helps
people.
Actually for that pilot next time when he reaches the stage of training him on the caravan.
Right.
It comes just like this. Because I was with one Zimbabwe pilot here. I started him like that.
Okay.
With the 206. He flew the 206, he controlled the 206. By the time we came around the 400 or 500 hours, I started to put him on the 208s when they are moving the bush.
In the right seat?
He's in the right seat, he wants. Then we decided to give him the training on the 208. He was performing very well. Actually, by the time of around the 800-900 hours, he was able to command.
Okay.
But in the condition of this company, at least you have to be with about 1,000 hours to command the turbine.
Okay.
So, we continued till when he reached 1,000. He started to operate the toy. This is the one now he has. Who's that? Chikwanda. He has
okay.
Now 1,616.
Oh, you've got, yeah, your sheet there has the number of flight hours for your pilots. That's cool.
That's the one.
Yep, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's.
So I have this one. This one is flying 206. This one is flying 206.
All right, yep. The PA-28.
He has the PA-28, he has the PA-34, but we don't have these aircrafts.
Okay, so I see others. So what we're looking at here is a sheet with, we've got all the pilots' flight times, and it looks like you will hire people just out of flight school, and you're trying to bring them up.
Yeah,
you want to keep
one
them.
Here, this one.
Yep, he's got 240 hours.
Yeah, I took him from school.
Yep.
So even this one, I took him from school also, this one.
Okay, how do you decide who to hire? I mean, they're just out of flight school. They have 200 hours or something.
When they come here,
uh-huh.
For example, if we decide to take somebody who is fresh from school.
Right.
We do something which is called acceptance.
Okay.
Right. So I have the form here.
Okay, so you do an acceptance check ride.
There's an acceptance check ride.
And you're just like they did with you in the military, you're looking for a certain aptitude.
Yes. Actually, I have the phone for those acceptors. That's acceptance. It goes for single engine, maybe somebody else, others for twin engine.
Right.
So we do an acceptance.
Yep, yep.
Okay. You go with him up. Because somebody for you is really, he has the truth license from the school. You will see the way he's behaving in there.
Right.
So you go up with the 206. It doesn't have any difference with the 172 or the 150 or something, because they're all Cessnas.
Right.
And yep. The advantage Cessna he has is one thing which I will never forget on him. It's the positioning of the instruments in the cockpit. Even if they take you in the citation now, you'll know where is the undercarriage selector.
Right, yeah, everything's the same.
Everything is the same. He can change all types of the aircraft, but if you look for the flaps, they are there.
Yep.
You come for the parking brake, it's there.
That's
it's just like that.
Yeah, I've seen that fairing airplanes, but you jump in a twin Cessna, and if it's one I haven't flown before, as soon as I said, I'm like, oh, well, here's the master switch.
All
the
these are the generators and everything like that.
Exactly. That's
so that's the advantage of the Cessna. I have a lot of ratings. You can see the series of the Cessnas on my side.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I have the rating 182. I have the 206.
Yep.
I have the 208. I have the 310. I have the 402, I have the 404, I have the 406, I have the 414.
Cool.
Yeah, all Cessnas.
That's right, because that's where you get a rating for each plane. That's cost a lot of Cessnas.
Yeah.
So you get people right out of flight school. Do they come and apply usually? I mean, do you have to front someone from Zimbabwe? So did he walk into your office and apply and ask for a job?
Yeah, he applied for the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not via the internet. Yeah. Like he had to walk in person.
Yeah,
and talk to you.
Yes.
Are you inclined to hire someone that you haven't met?
Yes, we do.
You do hire people you haven't met.
Yeah.
You talk to them on the phone, or they send email.
Talk to them on the phone. Others, they are sending the CV. For example, this one is up, right?
Okay.
This one. This is the CV one I have received now.
Oh, and he's Tanzanian.
That is a Tanzanian. Yeah.
Cool. Would you prefer to hire Tanzanians?
Huh?
Would you prefer to hire people from Tanzania? Or does it matter too much?
No, even the foreigners, we like them, because there is an advantage with Tanzanians also. Yeah, the advantage they have, because
they know the country.
Not only knowing the country, because you bring the foreigner, you have to find him the house, you have to find him the transport, you have to do what. But once this fellow is 6 in his job, we tell you he's living with his family here.
Right.
So... At least
he's right here.
Yeah, he's right here.
Are there work permit issues for
foreigners?
Yeah.
Actually, almost. For example, here I have about five or six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 foreigners.
Okay. That's in how many pilots total is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah.
12 pilots total counting you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a fair number.
7 now for us.
Cool, and I see you've got 23,500 hours.
23,000 up to August.
And 12,000 in 406s. I love that.
12,000 in 406s.
God, I do love that. That's great. Okay, so you do hire over the internet. You'd probably prefer to meet somebody.
Yes.
So if somebody shows up and asks for a job. If someone gets hired, then the process is they do an acceptance flight.
You go for the acceptance. If he proves it's okay, just the small things, he proves it's okay.
Right.
It means you see that maybe this one can be trained in a certain aircraft.
Right.
Okay, from the assessment.
And depending on what their experience level
experience,
is, you might
say. Because if somebody is looking for a job, is coming with about 2,000, 3,000 hours.
Right.
Even if you go, maybe he has the rating of the 206, so he doesn't have any aircraft you have here, but according with the hours he has, maybe he has the experience with the turbines, you think you can take him. You can take him even on the 206, so in the 208, you go with him up, at least to show the way.
Yeah.
So you can judge from there that this man, you can put him on this aircraft to start to train him straight, because there is no need of taking somebody who's 2,000-3,000 hours to start the training on the 206 for what?
Well, except that's fun.
Yes, it's fun. Yes.
So when somebody, let's say somebody had a South African license, they came here, they need to get a Tanzanian license?
Yes.
And they'll have to get a rating in every plane they're going to fly
every plane, yes.
And they do that through the government or do that through the company?
The what? The costings.
Yeah, like can you give a rating, or do they have to go to a government examiner?
No, on my side, I'm approved.
Okay, so you're an approved
example. Yeah, I'm approved.
Basically.
I'm an example. For the ratings of the aircrafts I have,
okay,
I can give somebody the rating of the aircraft.
Okay, and that makes sense. You've got more instructing time than
exactly
probably anyone else.
And actually, what they did at TCA themselves, they came to me, they suggested me maybe 72 or 3 planes. They went with me up. They do this one from the civil aviation.
Okay.
Then he said, we are giving for the group. You can give somebody the rating of this aircraft, this aircraft, this aircraft. So those aircrafts which are here, I can give them to somebody.
Okay.
After checking him, relaxed, these are the forms. When I said, now I'm satisfied with this fellow, you can do what?
Oh, go there, the form.
Yeah.
So you fill those out and then and put down which plane he's going to be checked out.
Which is from how you check it out.
Okay. That sounds really good. So, yeah, so you get people from all over the place, different experience. You tend to keep pilots a long time. That's what Jeff was saying, is that you tend to...
It's very clear.
Oh, yes, that's how you apply for the license.
Mm-hmm. You see?
Oh, the examiner signature. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, and then does the weight there?
Yeah. So we continue right to the back, everything's there.
Cool, yeah. So that's just a check ride form?
Yeah, check ride forms for the night, how many landings, takeoffs, and what, and what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, do you mind if I snag one of these?
Eh?
Can I take one of these?
Yeah, I'll take
one.
Cool,
I'm take one.
Yes,
exactly. I got one from Nepal when I did my training over Nepal.
Exactly, yes, so...
But Jeff was saying that you tend to, Tanzania tends to hang on to pilots. Pilots don't leave as often. When a pilot starts flying here, they tend to stay for several years at least.
Yeah.
Which some airlines, they tend to keep pilots for a year and then they move on. They want to fly the jets.
Yeah. Now, the difference from other companies, because most of the other companies which are here, if they train you in a certain aircraft, they have the tendency of signing the contract maybe after certain years.
Right.
Because you go to the certain rating from them, so you have to work for that at least.
Right. So
but Tanzania is quite different.
Okay.
You know, the former boss of this company, the late father of John.
Okay, yeah.
Who passed the last year, he was with his own character. Okay?
Yeah.
He said, don't stay with somebody forcing him to stay with you simply because you have trained him.
Right.
If you don't pay him well, it's not relaxed. Let him go.
Right. Okay. If they don't want to be here, let them go somewhere.
Say, why are you forcing somebody that you have used your money to train him and what and what? So if he ends up on banging your aircraft somewhere,
right,
what are you going to say?
Yeah. So
because if you bang it, obviously we start to see this pilot is not good.
Right.
So he said if it's to reach at that stage, why?
Right.
Train him after 2-3 months. If he's not satisfied, let him go.
Let him go.
Yeah.
So other companies will make you sign a contract.
They sign the contract.
And they train you, and they're going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
And people end up unhappy.
Yeah.
So here the philosophy is more train them. If they're good, we'll keep them, and we'll treat them really well so they'll want to stay.
Yeah. Here the contract is 2 years.
Okay.
So you can't finish that contract. Because even the contract itself is stating, we can decide to destroy your contract, and you can decide also to destroy our contract.
Okay.
But it never takes somebody in court that you have destroyed my contract.
Right. So
yes,
there is a contract, but nobody's going to... It's a loose contract.
It's a loose contract.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If somebody's not happy or you're not happy with them, then you'll have a talk and say this isn't working out.
Yes, exactly.
What's a normal schedule like for a pilot? What time do you show up in the morning? What time do you leave in the evening? Or are you done work?
Normally here.
Right.
It's very simple. Doing the job over here is very simple. Except for the chief pilot, who's almost around. Okay? Because, for example, let's say you have seen the total of the pilots I have.
Yep.
And maybe that day, 3 or 4 aircrafts are only the ones which are flying.
Okay.
Okay. So first, I have 12 of those 4 pilots.
Right.
For those aircrafts which are flying.
Right. How many planes do you have total?
Here.
Yeah.
Operational now, we have 7.
Okay, 7 planes and 12 pilots.
Operation, okay. Yes. Operation, now we have 7.
And 3 to 4 planes fly a day, usually?
Yeah, at least.
Okay.
At least the day, all of them, they fly. But at least 3 or 4, they fly.
Okay. Right.
So first, put those pilots who are flying. Okay.
Yep.
And there are the aircrafts which have...
Not flying.
Not flying. Close to the pilot, but we're stand by bases.
Okay.
But...
Okay, yeah.
You can be rose at home.
Right.
But anytime...
But you might get called up.
You might, yes. Maybe right. We might call you. If we have the business on your plane, you have.
Right. But it's, okay. And they probably get plenty of days off.
Still. Exactly.
There's enough time off.
Exactly, yes.
Do you have set days that they're just off?
They are off days.
Okay, they have off days.
Completely,
and,
yes.
And standby days and then...
Yes, standby days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or a certain plane can leave 3-4 days.
Right.
It's not back at the base. So at least some few pilots.
Oh, might go to Arusha or yes. To a safari camp.
Yeah, international, mostly we have international flights a lot here.
Okay.
We go to Mozambique, we go to Zambia, we go to Rwanda, we go to Kinshasa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So if it happens, those routes like that, and the plane will be coming back maybe after 3 or 4 days, things like that. So some pilots, they have their health.
Right. Okay? So they're not scheduled flights, it's all charters.
We don't have scheduled flights.
Okay, it's all charter flights.
This company is also charter.
Okay.
Because the rate managing director, when we told him about the charter, because Zanzibar, we have seen a lot of companies which are operating the charter, you know, the schedule in Zanzibar.
Right.
They are getting. So we started to convince the managing director, if you can do that, he said, you know, you guys, don't think of the schedule. You know why airlines are running poor and poor?
Right.
Because if you have decided that every at 2 o'clock you have to go to Zanzibar, whether you have 2 or 3 passengers, you have to go.
Right, yeah.
Okay? So in that case, he said, you know, at least when you talk of chartering the business, somebody, if he goes 1 or 3, you have already owed your money. So
right.
Don't bother about that.
Yeah, so this way you just fly when the flight's going to make money, they'll fly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly, yes. So we are doing only charter business.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. What and another advantage we have, most of the companies which we are talking, they are around. Funny, you don't know what happened to those companies. They are operating single engines.
Ah.
It's only this company with
the twins.
Twins.
Okay. So the oil company contracts are all multi-engine.
It's both engines.
Yeah, I've seen that almost everywhere. Oil companies
yeah.
do not fly single
oil
engine.
Oil company, they are coming for twin engine, turbine engine, pressurized the aircraft.
Yep.
So things
often
like that.
Often two pilots.
Two pilots,
yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And even these international organizations and oil companies, the ones which are talking, if they come for the inspection, actually they were here recently. When they come for the inspection, thus you can see my body is always up to date.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
For example, you see these red lines.
Yep. Yep, running their time.
It was the auditor from the oil companies, the one who put in these lines.
Okay.
Because he said the last base check was done in this one. Root check. Why?
Ah.
But enough, I was with the reason behind why.
Right.
This pilot is not around for the time being.
So the auditors from the oil companies actually come and look, want to keep track of what
they want to see how we are keeping records.
Right, yep, okay.
So they come to see how we are looking records. They come to see how we do our base checks and everything. They go through the licenses if they are genuine.
Okay. Yeah.
They go to operations. They look for the duty times. They look for some things like what I told you, acceptance, base checks, and everything, if are being done. The assessment forms, how it was being
right,
assessed.
Right,
okay. Actually, they are all the pilots who were flying before.
That check everything.
They know everything.
Yeah.
And they help us a lot. Because there are some of the new things which we are not current.
Right.
They bring it to,
okay.
to us. That's why even if you go to civil aviation now in the quarter, if somebody is generally coming from anywhere, coming to inspect one of the company on the side of the aviation, what are the standards?
Right.
Civil aviation here, he will send you to Tanzania. He knows Tanzania, at least are people who are current.
So that's good. So the oil companies, which aren't regulatory,
they're helping us.
But they're helping make sure that everything is up to date, up to speed.
Yes.
Huh. I'm just looking at your board again. It looks like, how much do your pilots fly a month? I see Chawanda flown 84 hours this month.
Where? Chawanda?
Yeah.
Yeah, he flew 84 hours. Flown.
So your pilots, I'm guessing, 50 to 60 hours a month?
Yeah.
And he's high time this month.
This one is high time because it was recently checked out on the 208.
Okay.
So we gave him the chance to continue with this.
Right.
Keep for his new to keep the confidence on the 208.
And right, to sort of cement that knowledge.
And it's happened, you know, you came from the 206 piston.
Yeah.
You went to the 208.
Yeah.
The 206 was with a limited distance.
Right.
So the 208, it is going farther.
Got it. Yeah.
So at least to be familiar with it.
Yeah.
Somewhere else. Well, exactly.
And you're the next highest time.
Yeah.
As the chief pilot.
Not only as the chief pilot, because all the rest of the aircrafts from other companies which are being maintained here, I'm going for the test flights.
Oh, you're test flying all the planes. Okay, so you get a little extra flight time.
Yeah, I get more extra flight.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Cool.
Yeah.
I think I've got everything. I mean, I'm sure I keep talking and dig up some more, but this has been good.
Yes.
I'd like to stop this part of the interview, and then maybe we can try to get a video of the 406.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
We hope you liked this interview. If you found it useful, visit oddballpilot.com, oddballpilot.com, for more stuff like it.